podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dr. Isa Gucciardi, and she's the author of Coming to Peace, Resolving Conflict Within Ourselves and with Others. And I'd love for you to say something about the process that you do in this Coming to Peace process. And one of the main ingredients, I mean, you talked earlier about how you've tapped into shamanism and transpersonal psychology and other forms of therapies and psychologies and philosophies. And one of them is tapping into that inner wisdom or inner guidance that we all have available to us, but we don't often tap into. So can you say something about that process?
Well, one of the things that we do at the beginning of the Coming to Peace process when a group comes together is we have something that's like a guided meditation, but not exactly a guided meditation. It's actually an adaptation of the shamanic journey, which is designed to connect the initiate or the journeyer with a connection with what in shamanism is called a helping spirit that takes the form of nature, who then becomes a guide for the shamanic initiates' processes of growth and understanding. But we adapt this in the Coming to Peace process and call the process of the guided meditation a connection with the part of the self that knows your inner truth and your inner wisdom. And the process of the meditation is such that one's own inner imagery is evoked and one's own connection on one's own terms with this connection with this spirit within the self is made. And we don't even mention the word spirit. We don't talk about, you know, is this inside of you or outside of you? We just talk about this as the part of the self that knows your wisdom and your truth, so that people don't get hung up on, you know, any kind of spiritual or religious idea that they have to have about what that should look like. So it's a very personal thing. And once people have that connection, there is a way in which all of the interactions are then referent back to that connection. And again, as I said, if someone gets out of line, if someone starts calling someone names or refuses to participate once they've agreed to participate, they are asked to connect with this part of themselves that has this wisdom and this truth, and they're given sort of a timeout. And in the Ho'oponopono process, this is called Ho'omalu, which means to come under the protection of. So they come back into the protection of this part of themselves so that they can refresh themselves and then come back out into the engagement, hopefully with a broader perspective.
So what are some of the examples of how this shows up for different people, just to give us some examples of how it has shown up for different people?
Well, so for instance, I'll actually give you an example that I have in the book wherein the father of these girls, the stepfather of these girls, was engaged in an internal process trying to understand the internal parts of himself that were, and their relationship, and how those two parts were driving his conflict with the girls. So it turns out that he realized that he had this really overbearing sense of responsibility. And there was a part of him that was feeling like he had to take full responsibility for the girl's happiness. And there was another part of him that was thinking, I really do not want to have anything to do with all this responsibility. I can't manage it. And so he was angry at himself for not being able to hold all of the responsibility in the way that he wanted to. So we did the inner coming to peace process. And a big part of coming to peace is, of course, the external conflict resolution that we've described. But a essential aspect of coming to peace is the understanding about how parts of the self and conflict within the self drives conflict externally. And so there's this whole understanding about being able to tease out parts of the self that may be in conflict and whose relationship is driving the external conflict. So in that case, the two parts within him that were driving him to be overbearing and kind of angry with his stepdaughter when she didn't do what he thought was going to make everything perfect was there were two parts. One was the part that he experienced in an image of a soldier, and another part that he experienced as a red ball. And so they had this conversation where they started, you know, the facilitator said, could you each describe your relationship to responsibility? And the soldier said, you have to take responsibility. You have to do your duty. And the red ball says, oh, give me a break. You're just making me puke. You know, you stupid Boy Scout, you jerk, you know, like, so they started like spewing all of these expletives at the soldier. And the facilitator stepped in and said, maybe you should each listen to the guide, the inner part of the self that has this wisdom, and see if, you know, maybe you could try speaking to each other again. So the red ball, you know, reluctantly kind of stood, you know, went quiet for a while, and it came out and said, okay, I'm sorry, but you're a Boy Scout jerk, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I had to go back in again. And then finally they were able to kind of have a very constructive conversation about sacrifice and duty and what was appropriate and what wasn't. And, you know, self-care versus care of others. It was a very constructive conversation that ultimately led him to a lot of self-transformation on his own, even independent of the relationship with the girls.
So what was done is guided him to look at his unconscious motivations, was underneath the surface. And this is where the adept hypnosis goes. It goes more to those root causes, right? Than just the surface that are may seem more obvious, but may not really get to the underlying motivation.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, by understanding that there is a way to kind of voyage within the self, these deeper motivations can be revealed. And in the same way that the deeper motivations are revealed when there's spaciousness in the external relating within the coming to peace circles with other people, that same spaciousness is needed internally as well. And by going again beyond the confines of the conscious mind, which of course is a very helpful state of mind, but it's a problem-solving state of mind that is designed to block out anything that might disrupt order. And of course, we all have things within us that disrupt order, and, mm-hmm. and we need to be able to access them in a coherent way without traumatizing ourselves or traumatizing others. And so having this part of the self that knows one's wisdom acting as an anchor, and then defining the parts of the self that are actually in conflict, and then allowing those parts to tell the truth about their experience, again, with a lot of spaciousness, so much is revealed and so much is resolved within the self.
That's no small thing when you say allowing spaciousness, because in Western society, and especially in the U.S., we are so quick to interrupt each other and just jump in with our judgments and with our solutions, and we're very quick. I mean, we interrupt each other. And so you are saying that this process allows that space of time, and a good facilitator will slow that process down for something else to happen, for a dropping down into this other level.
Right. That's exactly right. And when people begin to access that part of themselves, and when they have the facilitation that they need, that is just enough facilitation in order to help them reveal their experience to themselves, but not so much facilitation so as to interrupt that experience, then they are really able to feel the support of that inner wisdom and be able to admit things to themselves and to allow themselves to see things and be able to access parts of themselves that they had not even known existed, and which are usually the parts of the self that have the keys to the kingdom about how to resolve the presenting symptoms that are occurring on the surface.
You know, it's just reminding me of my deep circle work, which we often talk about when people are new to circle work or to this a process like this. They can be very impatient, and I call it developing circle stamina. Mm-hmm. And it's actually like developing a muscle to be able to sit in that not knowing space, but trusting, because this container is safe enough and having enough mutual respect that magic, I'll call it magic, can happen, or surprises can happen, or mm-hmm. healing mm-hmm. is possible right. if we're willing to hang out in that landscape with mutual respect, tolerance, patience, trust. Then this kind of magic can happen, and personal responsibility will show up.
Yeah, everything you're talking about right there are actually Buddhist principles. And, you know, of course, coming to peace draws heavily on Buddhist philosophy as well. And I know myself in my own Buddhist practice, the most difficult practices for me are actually patience and tolerance. You know, I'm one of those people that I want to get things done. I want to define things. I want to move on. And this is one of the really great teachings for me as a facilitator of coming to peace processes, that the coming to peace has taught me patience. It's taught me to trust there will be resolution, even if you don't see where it's going to go or where it's going to come from. It will be there. And that mental discipline is what you do develop in a Buddhist practice, that patience, tolerance, mutual respect, you know, compassion, bringing compassion to everything, even when things are getting a little bit heated, to keep moving into that spacious, compassionate place to try to help create an opening to understand where that heated conflict is coming from within the person.
You know, I can see, Isa, that this could be when we talk about larger systems, let's say whole political systems or you know, governments and communities and things like that, where we think, oh, we really want to help heal conflicts, that here is a way that we can start to practice it with what is close to us. We can start to practice within our own families, within our own personal relationships. That is no small thing.
No,
that's right. And to know that we are contributing in some way to the greater whole by learning how to do this and practicing it so that it radiates out is I'm giving you my bias and belief system, because I think it's effective. So I'll have you come in on that in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dr. Isa Gucciardi, and she is the author of Coming to Peace, Resolving Conflict Within Ourselves and with Others. Her website is sacredstream.org, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Dr. Isa Gucciardi, and she's the author of Coming to Peace, Resolving Conflict Within Ourselves and with Others. And I was just talking about how this process, it may seem like a personal process, but it can radiate out. Do you have any comment about that?
Well, I'd like to comment on both ends of that, because you were talking about the personal process, the interpersonal process between family members and community members. But actually, if you begin internally with the inner coming to peace process to understand different parts of yourself, like you could have one part that wants success and another part that is afraid of success. And if you could sit down and have an inner coming to peace discussion between those two parts, you might start manifesting things differently in your life, and that would change your community around you. Right? So I would comment there, not only in interpersonal relationships is the coming to peace process helpful, but in the internal process of understanding different parts of the self and their relationship and how their relationship affect the way that you engage with others externally is one place where transformation can occur as conflict is arising in interpersonal relationships.
So would this help us avoid like polarization going to that either or place?
Definitely. It would resolve dualities, all kinds of dualities. Absolutely. And it would help a person become more integrated and whole within themselves so that they could be more effective in bringing their gifts into the world that would help change the way that the community functions with them and around them.
Now, that doesn't mean that we avoid the or don't have judgments about bad actions of people. There are certain people that are bad actors out there.
Right. I mean, just because you can come to peace within yourself doesn't mean that you lose your discernment and being able to determine whether or not someone else is creating conflict or creating peace. And you become more effective in setting down personal boundaries to people who are not creating peace. And you become more effective when you're internally integrated in being able to help those who are dedicated to kind of creating chaos rather than peace, look at the way that they're creating reality and look at the effect that they're having on others. So it's very helpful. And, when you're talking about, having discernment and, stepping away from judgment, I mean, you can see if someone is creating a situation where someone is being treated unfairly, you need to be able to talk about that. You need to be able to say, this is not helpful. And that doesn't have to be judgmental. And the person can say, what is causing you to create this lack of justice here and what you're doing? And then the person really has to look within themselves in order to understand why are they treating this other person unjustly. And that inner conversation is very, very important. And, you were talking about forgiveness before, and that you have to understand your internal motivations in order to be able to participate in the processes of forgiveness effectively. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what forgiveness is. And I think that everyone thinks, oh, I should be able to forgive. If I'm a good Christian, I should be able to forgive. If I'm a good Muslim, I should be able to forgive. You shouldn't have to feel like you have to forgive until you have totally understood all of the effects that the trespass has had on you. And when you have a situation where forgiveness is needed, you have two parties. One party is the one who's wronged, and one party is the wrongdoer. And again, that's a little bit dualistic, but let's just start with that. So the person who has done the wrongdoing has a very different task than the person who has been wronged. And the person who has been wronged has a process of needing to move away from the wrongdoing. And the person who has done the wrongdoing has a process of moving toward the wrongdoing. And because if you, having been wronged, are holding on to having been wronged, you're never going to be able to unwind all of the experience of hurt to get to the place where you can forgive.
Like being a victim.
Right, or being attached. Now, this is from the Buddhist perspective. Wherever there's attachment, there's suffering. And if you're holding on to the wrongdoing and you can't let go of it, You need to look at all of the reasons why you're holding on to it. It's not that you're bad for holding on to it, but you need to understand why are you attached. And that's an inner process of understanding that attachment.
So are you saying that like a premature forgiveness is not going to get you there?
That is absolutely right. And I think that most people do forgive prematurely. And in my book, there's an example of a woman who tried to forgive her father, thought she had forgiven her father. He had been very violent. He had been a drug user, and he'd been violent in their youth. And then he got sober, and he insisted that everyone forgive him. And everybody, of course, forgave him because they were all afraid of him, because what was he going to do if he didn't forgive them? But she had so much internal conflict around what had happened, and he had not actually taken personal responsibility. He had not moved toward the wrongdoing. He had just implemented this.
So he had not really acknowledged the wrong that had caused.
The full impact
of right. what he had caused. He just said, okay, I'm not doing it anymore, so let's just not go there anymore.
Right. So you all have to forgive me, and now we're a happy family.
Now we're in a new territory, yeah. and all of that is in the past. Let's not bring it up. This is right. very typical. We right. can all kind of relate to
right.
this.
And she actually came to me because she had debilitating migraines. And she had taken all of that emotional and mental conflict around having prematurely forgiven her father and put it into her physical symptoms as a way of understanding how much pain she was in. And so we had to kind of go back all the way through that and let her go through all of the different permutations of how he had harmed her. Now, he was not interested in taking responsibility for his wrongdoings on a real level. And this is why, if we truly understand the nature of forgiveness, we don't have to have the person who's done the wrongdoing actually ultimately take responsibility. We can still free ourselves from all of the effects if we look at our attachments. But if a person is willing to take responsibility, then this is another aspect of Buddhist understanding where suffering occurs when you're avoiding something. So if you're avoiding taking responsibility, it's going to create suffering. So if you move toward the fact that you have done something, and if you let yourself come out of all the places where you're trying to deny or avoid the truth, and you let yourself understand what was your internal motivation and your intentionality in doing this, and how have you harmed another, and how can you ask for redress, first you have to forgive yourself. Because it doesn't matter if someone else has forgiven you. If you can't get to the place where you have forgiven yourself, someone else's forgiveness is not going to help.
It's not going to help. And this goes back to some of the things that you mentioned in the book. Let's say the African society, Ubuntu, I think, Truth and Reconciliation, that came out of the apartheid groups that met on a regular basis. So.
Well, that was, you know, a really strong effort of trying to get to a place of forgiveness. And of course, Ubuntu is a process that has been practiced among Southern African tribes for centuries. And this is a process of coming to peace. Again, it's the same. Interestingly, it's the same processes as the Iroquois Federation and as the Ho'oponopono processes in the Hawaiian Islands. So completely different continents have completely similar methods of peacemaking and truth-telling. And there was a really deep, sincere effort on the part of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission after apartheid to allow for all of the people who had been wronged to tell their truth to the wrongdoers and to have the wrongdoers stand in the face of all of the pain that they had created. And the effort was to try to have them take responsibility for it without punishing them. It was an effort to, the deal was, you just have to listen, you just have to hear, you just have to be present, you just have to understand and have spaciousness to be able to hear what conflict you have created. And I am sure that that had a strong effect on those perpetrators that may never be known. And certainly it had a very strong effect on the people who had been harmed. And I think that there was so much that happened in those years that they would probably need many more years of that kind of process in order to be completely free of it. And of course, you know, Nelson Mandela and all of the people who tried to create a state based on, you know, the effort to get to forgiveness through Ubuntu, had their work cut out for them, you know.
So this is where in your work, your shamanic work and your work in with indigenous cultures just brings this wisdom to the fore. There's this other deep wisdom that's available to us that comes from these indigenous cultures.
And that we can access through our own practice of connecting with our inner wisdom and connecting with the wisdom of the earth directly. And this is one of the things that we do in the Applied Shamanism program at the Sacred Stream, is we really help people establish a relationship with the earth that is their own. And that has probably been there all along, but they haven't been able to connect with it in a real and direct way in order to be able to bring it into their lives to create change. And, you know, when you combine this with the discipline and the perspicacity that Buddhist philosophy and science offers, you really have a wonderful wisdom system that can create transformation not only on a personal level, but on a family level and a society level.
Isa, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Justine. It's such an honor to be here with you. I've been an admirer of yours for so many years.
Thank you so much. I've been here with Dr. Isa Gucciardi, and she is the author of Coming to Peace, Resolving Conflict Within Ourselves and with Others. And her website is sacredstream.org, sacredstream.org. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3623.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi. I'm Nikki Scully, author of Sekhmet, Transformation in the Belly of the Goddess. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about Egyptian alchemy of transformation.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
Teach my children about systemic racism and about historic and persistent colonialism and the responsibility that comes with their privilege. I will use my voice to speak up, and I will make more space at the table.
I will continue to educate myself and others in my community about the racism and inequities faced by BIPOC.
We will not be silent and idle.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.